You're on North Canterbury's Compass FM. And we welcome into the studio this afternoon two very important guests, Chris Coomber, the publicity officer, and Cheryl Hutchison from the North Canterbury Seroptimists. And they've come to tell us all about a lunch with experts talking about the ovarian cancer awareness. A very interesting topic, ladies. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Thank you both for coming in to tell us about this. Now, we'll start out with Cheryl. How did you guys get involved with the project?
Well, Seroptimist North Canterbury is part of it's a professional women's group, and it's part of a national and international body of professional women, and we have projects that help well-being of women and girls, and that's our main aim, really, is to ensure that we have good health for our female
population. Now, do you find do people come to you about these things, or is this something that the Seroptimists seek out?
Well, we have a national project. It is a national project, so that gets deciphered down to all the different groups. There's 20 Seroptimist groups in New Zealand.
Wow.
And it's also international, and it's attached to the United Nations as well. So, yeah, so it's quite a body.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. So doing great work. Now Chris, what has the group been doing to raise awareness here in North Canterbury?
Well, firstly, the local group has been working very hard in the last 12 months fundraising to finance this project. Firstly, there was a ticketed breakfast on International Women's Day last year, and then a high tea, which was well attended, and they were the fundraisers for the project. Then we formed a small working group who've been working hard and with passion to raise awareness of ovarian cancer, and now we've got the provision of a luncheon for North Canterbury people on May the 2nd at the Rangiora RSA. We're hosting that for 150 people. We've got three guest speakers who are experts in women's health: Nikki van der Holst, a local GP, Jane Fielder, a gynecologist, and Wendy Gerritsen. Wendy has been a great advocate for raising awareness of ovarian cancer and has her own story to tell. This event will provide, hopefully, many take-home messages of great value to those who are going to attend, to be educated and share their learnings with family and friends, and thus spread the word and help improve the very poor recognition of this disease.
Yes, it's an important thing, isn't it? And often just something people don't mention. It's not even, you know, it doesn't come into anyone's radar, not talked about. Now, this the is a luncheon you said you've got organised.
It is.
Now, when's that taking place?
So that's next Thursday on the 2nd of May at 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. And are there any tickets available?
Very few.
The tickets are quite limited, actually, now, because they've sold really well. But we have gifted two tickets for you to
give
away to the community.
And these are worth your weight in gold, everyone out there. So we're going to offer these over the course of this afternoon or Friday to anyone who would like to attend the Ovarian Cancer Awareness Lunch. It sounds divine. What are tickets cost for those who would like to come along?
They're $15 each. And with our fundraising, we're actually able to subsidise that.
Well, I mean, $15 for lunch. You can't get much lunch for $15 these days. So I would jump at the chance, ladies. Any ladies out there that would like to come along? Few
and
tickets
gentlemen,
left.
And gentlemen,
of course.
Mm-hmm. Now, yes, the mayor's coming.
Well, excellent, excellent. He gets around an awful lot, our mayor, doesn't he?
Yes,
God bless him, Dan Gordon. So you've got 150 people coming along to it. It's a luncheon, and you've got three special guests. So that's something to look forward to. And so it starts at, did you say, 1 o'clock?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. Three runs through till about two or three.
No more than two. I think some people will perhaps take work lunch. Yeah. Time to go. So we try and keep it as tightly as as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a big topic, and of course it'd be nice to see people gather together afterwards and have a good old chat about it too, which is important. Cheryl, what is the main message you'd like to give women and girls out there?
Well, I think ovarian cancer is very difficult to detect, in actual fact. And we are aware, and we're advocating for a blood test to be taken, and it's a CA125 is actually what the blood test is. This actually monitors and monitors protein levels. So it's a little bit like the men in the prostate, the PSA that they have for the prostate. So it's only when you see raised levels that that's a flag. It's not a diagnosis, but it is a flag to help people to recognise that there could be something a bit unusual going on in their body in that area.
Is there a particular age that one should be concerned about, in the same way as being with prostate cancer? Does it affect women or girls of a certain age, or can it happen to anyone?
It can happen to anybody, but you know, we've tried to target, I guess, sort of like late teen through to 60-ish.
Yep.
But we have been aware that a 14-year-old girl was diagnosed, so that sort of sits you up in your seat a little bit.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It makes you consider that it can affect anybody.
Yes,
you know, really.
That's right. But what we ask about that blood test is that people get in and ask their GPs for that test now so that they can form a baseline.
Yes.
Because once you've got that baseline, it's the raising. So it's not something if you suddenly think I might have ovarian cancer that you would go and say, I want this blood test, because it's not going to tell you everything at that time.
Of course. And like you said, you've got a baseline then to work from for future tests.
Yeah. And if it rises, then it's a flag. But the only way to diagnose this in actual fact is through a scan.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So the blood test just is an indicator that there might be something concerning there, and obviously that will then be followed up by other tests.
That's right. And to get a baseline, obviously, you need to do it regularly. So it might be something you'll pick up and do once a year, and then you'll get that baseline right. So early detection is absolutely vital for
survival.
Ask
your GP the next time you're in, or don't even wait. Just go in and have it done as a matter of course. So, Chris, finally, do you have any statistics on the occurrence of ovarian cancer here in New Zealand?
Yes, unfortunately we have. And the statistics are not good. They're appalling. One woman dies every 48 hours in New Zealand of ovarian cancer.
One every 48 hours?
Mm-hmm. It shocked us.
It is shocking.
Yes. One in eight are diagnosed before the age of 45. So you were asking about ages before.
Yes, yes.
And as Cheryl said, anecdotally, we've been told about a girl diagnosed as young as 14. Now, the interesting thing is that four out of five are misdiagnosed. And one in four wait over 6 months to get a correct diagnosis. So a lot of wasted waiting time.
Indeed.
And it's the least survivable disease for women.
The least survivable.
Yes. Yeah.
Of all of the other things that you can possibly get, this is the least survivable.
Yes.
So one would expect then that there should be a pretty big, quick turnaround if it's picked up. It should be.
Yes, and that often happens with somebody being presenting at ED with some other problem.
Yep. Right.
Who need to have a scan, and then it's picked
then
up.
It's picked
so
up.
That's how difficult it is to actually identify and diagnose.
Well,
it really is difficult.
Some pretty sobering statistics there, ladies.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, it's very scary to think that it's ED that's picking up most of it, and that takes the survival rate down.
Right, of course. Mm. Yes, 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 absolutely. So, ladies, don't wait. I think the moral of the story here is to get in and get that test done.
Yeah.
Just as quickly as you possibly can. And then maintain that over the course of just take it as part of a checkup, like you would with you getting your teeth, you know, hygienically cleaned, or getting those sorts of things,
right.
Checking for lumps and breasts, things like that. It has to be part of your regimen.
That's right.
It really does.
That's right. And you do have to ask the GP for that test.
You have to ask.
Not on the regular request sheet.
Right.
It has to be.
Do they charge
for
extra for that?
No, there's no charge to
okay,
it.
Well, so all the more reason to put your hand in the air and say, right, Mr. GP, I'd like to have this done.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you pay for your GP consult.
Of course.
But the blood test's not a cost. No.
Okay. Well, that's very good to know. And look, ladies, thank you so much. You've certainly opened my eyes to a big concern for the health of women. as we've displayed, of just about any age. It's a concern, and particularly the incidence of those who are losing their lives to this. Yes. It's just absolutely mad.
Talking with people, we've discovered that women think that their cervical test will cover them for everything gynecological.
Right.
And that is incorrect.
And so there's misinformation being bandied about out there. They're of the belief that they're covered just by having a cervical test, and that's just not the case.
It's not the case.
So it's about education. I think this is a very important topic indeed. Thank you so much, ladies, for bringing this to our attention and sharing it with the community here in North Canterbury. Chris Coomber, the publicity officer, and Cheryl Hutchinson from the North Canterbury Sir Optimists, doing great work, letting us all know how in danger our female members of the community are. Thank you so much.
Thank you for allowing us
to come. Thank you. Thank you, Compass FM.
Compass FM.